Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. Few North Carolina political leaders have had a longer or more distinguished public service career than State Senator Dan Blue of Wake County. Blue has served in the General Assembly for more than three decades, including 4 years as Speaker of the House in the late 80s and early 90s, and in recent years as Senate Minority Leader. I caught up with Senator Blue in his Raleigh office recently to get his views on everything from the behavior of the Trump administration to the changes that have overtaken the General Assembly to the constitutional amendments that voters will confront on the fall ballot. Well, Senator Dan Blue, welcome to News and Views. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, happy to be with you, Rob.
Well, these are extraordinary times, Senator, and you're someone who's had such an extraordinary career, maybe unprecedented career in North Carolina political leadership and still going very strong. You have any sort of overarching thoughts about where we stand right now, both nationally and in North Carolina in this extraordinary period?
Yeah, I think the one unifying principle has been just that this, on the state level, just this desire by the legislative leadership to have control of everything and total disregard of the concept of separation of powers and some of the principles, the original principles that appear in our Constitution and in our government structure in trying to ensure democracy. And on the other hand, at the federal level, a collapse of institutional independence and separation of power, a voluntary ceding of power to the executive branch by the legislative branch there. So it's confusing when you put them all together. But witnessing firsthand what's happening in North Carolina at our General Assembly, the constant cord running through everything is just this insatiable appetite of the leadership, Republican leadership, to have all the power arrogated to itself and to the legislative branch of government. And that's what led to this whole discussion on these six constitutional amendments that will be on the ballot this fall.
It almost seems like there's a parallel between what's going on in Washington with rushed confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court and these amendments that have been proposed to the North Carolina ballot for November. It's almost as if folks on the right kind of sense a wave coming, a change coming, and they're just going to do everything they can to lock in as much change in their direction as possible before the fall elections, or maybe in congruence with them. And these amendments seem pretty ambitious in how they would alter many aspects of government in North Carolina.
Yeah, it's not just locking in what they've done, sort of the extreme right agenda, but it's also making government more difficult to navigate through. By taking a central elected official, namely the governor and the executive branch, out of so many key decisions and giving it to generally the party that is in control of the legislature, fundamentally changes the nature of our democracy. There is no checks and balances, and I think history has shown us that absolute power in any one entity, whether that's an entity of government or an entity of one or two individuals, leads to corruption, and it leads to, I think, less effective and less participatory government. And again, I think that there's a parallel in what we see in Washington and what we see here in Raleigh. Not saying it's necessarily orchestrated or coordinated, but there is a parallel, and that is that folk don't seem to want to protect the institutions that are supposed to serve as the checks and balances when one of the branches get out of conformity and starts trying to overreach and be in control of stuff. And that's, quite frankly, been the thing that's kept this country under its constitution as the oldest democracy with a written constitution, because we've had this checks and balances built in not only at the federal system, but at the state level as well.
So we have six amendments on the ballot this fall here in North Carolina. They're not actually even numbered, so it's a little hard for people to even get their arms around them. And I suppose that was probably intentional by the authors of them. Have you gotten any reaction from your constituents or other folks you've talked to as to what kind of reaction these amendments are generating? Are you worried that that voters will be confused and just sort of give a quick thumbs up because they don't even understand what they do? I know there's a movement that's calling itself the Nix All Six movement that's just saying, let's say no to all these amendments and send them back to the drawing board to do them correctly. What are your thoughts on how that's looking in the coming weeks?
I have great respect for the intelligence of our citizens and our voters. And I think they get it. They understand with respect to a couple of these amendments, those that strip power from the governor's office primarily and give it to the legislative leadership. People understand that they do fundamentally change the government that we've grown accustomed to, and it takes the one person who is elected statewide who can take a statewide perspective to things out of the equation. And I think that our folk understand that if you got five former governors, three Democrat and two Republican, all of the living former governors, as well as the current governor, saying that this fundamentally changes our system of government and the system of checks and balances on the various branches, they know that it must be pretty serious business. And they understand that if you're trying to put things in words that are confusing, that there must be a reason that you're trying to confuse them and you're trying to hide something. So I believe that for the most part, the citizens will rebel against this effort to trick them into giving away our system of government and our system of checks and balances.
We now have these six amendments on the ballot. There's been a bunch of litigation over it, but that's now settled. We're going to have six amendments to vote on. There's also been a lot of litigation over the structure of the districts that people will be voting on. We've just had a new decision regarding the congressional map that voters will apparently be using this fall. In fact, the courts have basically told us once again that the map is illegal. It was unconstitutionally gerrymandered, but it appears at this point we're just going to have to go ahead with an unconstitutional map because there just isn't time to fix that. I wonder what your thoughts are on that and sort of the future of gerrymandering.
Well, North Carolina, most of the observers agree, has engaged in the most extensive gerrymandering of any state in the country. We have run under these maps that were intentionally gerrymandered first on the basis of race in 2011, and then after that was kicked out because it went all the way up to the Supreme Court. That is, the decision about the racial gerrymandering was kicked back. It took two rounds of redistricting to get that straightened out. One, it came back to the legislature, and the same ones who had done the first gerrymander did a second racial gerrymander, and it was only resolved after the court appointed its own specialist, special master is what we called him, to take the racial bias out of the maps that the Republicans had drawn in the General Assembly. And so this will be the first election that we're running under in this decade, under maps that are not racially gerrymandered for the legislature. And the same thing with the congressional maps. They were a racial gerrymander as well. And so we've had three elections under maps that were unconstitutional. And the further we got into this decade, the cycle, the more the leadership tried to dig in to secure some of the changes that they had made with an illegally constituted legislature. And I have those same feelings about the Congress. You know, North Carolina is one case that the court sent back, say, you know, have the trial judge, the Supreme Court sent it back, said have the trial court look at it and see what the actual findings were and what the different remedies might be. And so the court a couple of weeks ago decided that it was still racially gerrymandered when you have the chairman of the committee that drew the maps saying that it was his intent to basically favor Republicans as much as possible, and he would have done it more, except he couldn't figure out a way to make a map that was 11 Republicans and two Democrats in a state that by all measures is almost a 50-50 state. Theoretically would yield a 7-6 or 6-7 delegation. And so we will go through another election cycle with an illegal map choosing people in Congress. And part of the problem in Congress, again, as I indicated, is that Congress, as it's currently constituted, has decided to cede its authority to the executive branch. They don't question what the executive branch does. They aren't doing their duty to make sure that the laws are faithfully abided by the executive branch officials. And so we will then contribute to Congress's inability to do the job that that branch of government was created to do, because it's not a fair election in North Carolina from the standpoint of people elected in districts where the citizens elect the congressperson as opposed to the congressperson having a gerrymandered district where he picks the people who are going to vote for him, and you can't do anything to pull him out because of the way the district is drawn.
I know our time is limited, but speaking of Congress doing its duty and the Trump administration probably exceeding its authority, we had this most recent development in which the Trump administration, through the Immigration Control and Enforcement ICE agency, has sort of launched this fishing expedition to subpoena ballots, millions of ballots that have been cast in North Carolina, apparently as part of an effort to see if there was improper voting by persons without proper immigration status. But these ballots would actually allow Trump administration officials to see how people voted in North Carolina, millions of people who clearly had no immigration status problems. This seems like a pretty amazing fishing expedition, especially at a time when election officials are already under the gun to sort of pull off the November election. It's a very busy time for them.
And those are the two points that I think bear mentioning. Number one, to ask for millions and millions of documents right now when the Ethics and Election Board is trying to start printing ballots, getting ready for a major election, as the midterm elections are. So it seems an inappropriate time to ask these kinds of questions unless you just want to gum up the work and slow them down so that they can't do their primary job, and that is administer elections. But you're right, the second one is very frightening because it ends up breaching your privacy and your confidentiality as to how you voted. That information will be readily available. They'll take computers to analyze and be able to tell how 4 or 5 million people voted over the last 6 or 8 years. That's unconscionable that they would be trying to do that. Without saying specifically what the purpose is, you can much more narrowly tailor the kinds of questions that they ought to be asking to get at what they want to get at, if that is to find out whether people who were not citizens voted. They could do that without getting access to the millions and millions of ballots that have been cast. And so I'm assuming that at some point the lawyers representing the state and the Board of Elections will make them limit that subpoena so that they'll only get the information that they really need. And I don't know why they need that unless there's some indication that some election was changed or altered, that people are intentionally engaging in fraudulent activity. I haven't seen allegations of that. It's just this fishing expedition, as you indicated.
It sounds like the bottom line is we're going to have a lot more litigation and we're going to have some very important elections coming up. And thank you for all the fine work you do to represent the people of North Carolina in the North Carolina Senate.
Thank you, Rob. Been a pleasure talking to you, and look forward to seeing your reporting.
Coming up next, a look at a fascinating new book that critiques the state of American elections. Stay with us.